Welcome to another episode of the Bamature Hour. I am Bama John. Quick shout out to Keelan Russell, new friend of the Bamature Hour show, for hearting one of the Bamature Hour Facebook posts. We love Keelan, and we're excited to see Keelan show out at Alabama over the coming days, weeks, months, and years. His day is coming, and we're going to be here to celebrate it. So quick shout out to Keelan Russell. I've got Dr. T. Rick joining us on this episode. And on this episode, we're going to look at the Georgia game. We're going to talk about how Alabama will beat Georgia and the ways that they can make that happen. We're going to look at a lot of different angles to this game because there's definitely a lot to explore. Today is Wednesday, September 17, 2025, in the year of our Lord. Thank you for tuning in. We now have over 4,300 subscribers to the YouTube channel and growing, and we appreciate each and every one of you that is subscribed to the YouTube channel. Please hit the notify button if you're accessing us on the other various podcast channels such as iHeart, Spotify, Apple, RSS, etc. Please like, follow, and put in nice comments. Give us good reviews. All right, Rick, how are you this evening? Thoughts and what are you thinking about this game as we jump in here? And there is a lot to talk about.
Good evening. I'm happy to be here. Thankful for another day to
Amen, brother. Amen.
And, had a good day at work and got to hit some tennis balls tonight. So I'm excited about the game. I think we're trending in the right direction. I think the offense is hitting its stride. I think the defense is starting to find itself, and I'm ready for next week.
Well, and in preparation for our discussion on the Georgia-Alabama game, let's dive into the Georgia comeback win over Tennessee in Knoxville. Georgia got down 21-7, and they wormed their way back in the game, got it into overtime, a little bit of luck. God blessed them with the missed field goal. They got into overtime. They stopped Tennessee from getting a touchdown, and then they just shoved it down their throat and punched it in the end zone, got the win. I mean, what the heck? What can you say about Georgia?
Yeah, I mean, I thought they showed a lot of fortitude just to come back. They were down 21-7, right?
Yes.
And, I think Kirby and his staff just – did something that is very commendable. I don't know if we're ready for that or not, but they on the road, they looked defeat in the face and just kept plodding away. And then very fortunate at the end. I think Tennessee, they had like a legal motion or some kind of penalty to push him back even further. I don't know how that affected him, but they easily could have lost. You know, it came down to a matter of feet probably. But they put themselves in a position to have a chance to win at the end, and they did. So I think Georgia's a good team. We don't know a lot about them yet. As you know, it's early in the season, but we're about to find out a lot more.
Well, I think one thing is they passed that test on the road in a big SEC game in a hostile environment. And the last two times Alabama's been in that stadium, they walked out the loser. So, you know, we have a lot of respect for Kirby, all his Alabama ties. I mean, hats off to him and hats off to his coaching staff, his players, for not throwing in the towel, for making adjustments. They made adjustments in that game. They kept fighting. They hung in there to the end, and they didn't give up. So I like this Georgia team a lot. People keep saying the road to the SEC championship goes through Georgia, and I agree with that. And if we want what we think this team can get, we got to go into Athens and we got to beat them.
Yeah.
We got to take it to them, and it's not going to be easy because we know a Kirby team is not going to give up fighting. Thoughts about last year's game, given that we're matching up against them again?
Yeah, well, last year's game seems like forever ago, honestly. But that's the game where Milroe, we got a huge lead, right? And they came back again, and Kirby showed.
Yeah, 28-0. We jumped on 28-0.
That game, I mean, I was there. And, yes, Milroe played well. But, you know, really, like, one pass, one wheel route to Jan Miller down the side, that was a good throw. But it went right by the defensive back's hands. He didn't look. So it could have been bad. It turned out great. And then, as you know, Ryan Williams did his thing that, made Milroe look even better. But I think we were very fortunate to win that game with at the end, with that interception. I think that was Xavier Brown, wasn't
Yeah,
it?
Xavier Brown stepped up and picked it off when they were in the goal line. They're right in whatever it was, second or third and goal, and they could have easily scored to win the game. And then we would have had to try to go back down, assuming they didn't run the clock out, and try to win it with seconds left.
But no, I mean, I was proud of the team to pull it off, that but it kind of got in our head or something, because the next week we couldn't take care of Vanderbilt. So anyway, we'll see. I don't know if this game will quite go that direction. Obviously it's a hostile environment. I think it's going to be more of a, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a pretty high scoring game. I really do. We'll see.
I'm going to be very interested to see if we can stop them and what we can do, because dual threat quarterback, let's face it, Gunner can scramble. Gunner's going to make plays with his legs. Beck wasn't as mobile as Gunner is, and Beck was also banged up in that game. But looking back at that game, we jumped on them 28 to nothing, so we had a great first half, and really they beat us from there. And we were lucky to pull that out because they jumped ahead of us there at the end, and then we had that great play by Ryan, and then we had the great goal line interception to stop them. So really, once we jumped on them 28 to nothing, Georgia dominated us, and we were lucky to get out of there with the win. And I think we didn't take heart to we got to fight harder for the whole game, and we got to be prepared, and underestimated Vanderbilt. So I don't think we're going to underestimate how good Georgia is in this game, which is good. I don't think we're going to underestimate how hard it's going to be. Now, can the coaches get us ready? And here's a couple of questions I have. If we look back on that Tennessee Georgia game, what does it tell us? Is Tennessee's offense really good? Do we think that? Do we think Tennessee has a great offense?
I think so. I think they're good. I don't think they're great. Although I think this kid Aguilera maybe better than Nico,
I agree with that.
especially hitting the long passes. But I think our receivers, I mean, I know we're not comparing Tennessee and Alabama necessarily, but I'm just using us as the gauge. I think our receivers are better than Tennessee's, and I think Ty is as good as Joey, and so I'm happy to see that Tennessee put up 41 points on Georgia. That's a good omen for us, I think. I think we're going to be able to put up 40 something as well.
And to that, the next question is, so is Georgia's defense that good?
That's a good question.
Is it because you normally expect Kirby Smart to have a great defense? So if Tennessee lit them up like that, and they slowed them down after they got 21, I thought they were going to hang 50 on them. I really did. I thought Tennessee, I didn't think they'd be able to stop Tennessee, and they just seemed to be getting open. So what about Georgia's defense? What does
Yeah,
it tell you about them?
I heard a guy on the radio today, from Georgia, say he felt like the weakest part on this Georgia team, is the defensive backs. Not saying they're bad, just the weakest. And then the second level, the second worst part of the team is the receivers. So if that's true, this is a guy from Georgia, that might be, I don't know if Tennessee's offense is that great, or it's just because they exploited those defensive backs. And so that all that points to, I think, a good game for us, because our strength is our receivers. And I know you have to have the offensive line, et cetera, but that's our strength. And I think we have a lot of playmakers all over the field. So I'm hoping that's the case. I'm hoping their defensive backs aren't as good as even ours, and our receivers have a great time getting open for Ty to hit some quick passes. But to answer your question, it's obviously it's too early to say. I don't think this is a Georgia defense of old, but I think it's probably pretty good.
Well, I'm always going to give Kirby credit that he'll get the most out of the talent that he has. And I think he's got good talent. But do they have six or seven NFL draft picks starting in that starting lineup? I'm not convinced of that. I'm sure they have two to four. You got to figure they got two to four guys that'll be playing on Sundays at a minimum that are in that starting lineup. And they probably got some guys on the bench that aren't ready to contribute yet. So we know they've got a good roster. So, that's the Is Tennessee's offense, well, we're going to find out when Tennessee comes in here, how good is
Yeah.
that offense? Because we got Murderers Row coming up when you look at our schedule.
Yes,
But, you know,
indeed.
those were things that was in there. Is this offense really that good? Or maybe Georgia's just got an average defense instead of a great defense?
Right. And like you said, can Bama do to Tennessee what did you say? Can Bama do what Tennessee did? Yeah, to Georgia. Yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, I think we can. Now it's different because we're on the road versus where they were home, but I think we can. I mean, I think our strengths really match up well to their weaknesses. And I think Ryan Grubb learned a lot from the FSU game, and the next two games about what he has and who he has on the field. I don't think we're going to play around with Ryan Williams at different positions. I think we're going to go with what we know works. And I think they've learned a lot about the offensive line. I really think we're going to have success. I'm not saying 50 points. I just think we're going to score. And I think we're going to score not. And I think the key is going to be to hold them a couple times. I think maybe you and I discussed this, but if we can hold them a couple drives and we can score. I think lately we've scored like in the last, I don't know, 10 out of 11 drives or something crazy, maybe more than that. But
Yeah, ULM, we scored on all 11 drives and we
that's
only
right.
punted twice
Right.
against Wisconsin.
Right.
So, two
Yeah.
out of like 11, let's say we had 10 possessions. So maybe two out of 23 possessions in the last two games if we punted. It's incredible.
That's amazing. That's
Yeah.
amazing. And I know this defense is better than Wisconsin overall, but their run defense at Wisconsin is pretty good. I mean, they put eight men in the box. So, of course, we had success throwing the ball then, but I think we're going to have success against Georgia. Just how much will yet to be determined, but we'll see.
So I think both Tennessee and Georgia are playoff caliber teams.
Yeah, I do too.
I think Tennessee's schedule is so weak that they may be able to eke in going 9-3 or 10-2 just because other than us and Georgia, I think they can win all the rest of their games. So
Yeah.
they're going to be in contention to go 9-3 or 10-2 and get in because if they've got a pretty weak schedule. Georgia's got a tougher schedule, but if they beat us, they're in the driver's seat because they'll have knocked off Tennessee and us. So this is a big game for us, which we know. Given that, here's another thing. We think Kirby Smart's a good coach.
Right.
I think these rosters are both very talented, have a lot of four stars, five star guys. If we had Kirby coaching this team rather than DeBoer, would you like our chances more?
I would just because he's been in the SEC for so long and he knows the grind, he knows how to prepare teams. I don't feel like Georgia, it's kind of like Alabama under Saban. I don't feel like Georgia goes into games and just doesn't show up. It's like what happened? Like the FSU game. I don't think Kirby's team, if he had our players, I don't think they would have done that. I think they would have taken care of business and won the game.
Well, or even if they lost, they wouldn't have gotten beat by 14. They would have found a way to get back and make it a 3-point game or a 4-point game.
Right.
Because look
Yeah.
at
And I
us, we
think,
jumped on them 28-0, and they could have just quit and said, "Hey, we're done," and gone home and just packed it in. And they didn't do that.
right. Yeah, I think Kirby's, I know, you have OC and DC, but I think Kirby is better at making halftime adjustments and in-game adjustments. And maybe DeBoer will get better, I mean, at this as he as he's in the hardest conference there is now. But yeah, I think Kirby's kind of tried and true, been tested. So I would take Kirby right now over DeBoer if I was given the chance, the opportunity.
Yeah, I wanted him to hire Kirby when Saban retired, but I knew there was no way he was going to leave Georgia.
Right.
It's his alma mater. He's won two natties. He's not coming
Right.
here. But
Now,
yeah.
this is kind of off out of left field, but let me ask you this. When Saban left, if you could have had Lane Kiffin, would you have taken him?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
I think given that he had been under Saban, I really liked how much he learned and how much he grew under Saban. So I would have taken him. Do I think Lane's a better coach than Kalen? I'm not sure. I
Right.
think the jury's out because last year he lost that game to Florida when they had a chance to make the playoffs. They lost to Kentucky. How'd you do that, Lane?
Right.
And then I'm also concerned about his D coordinator up there in Ole Miss, about how good that D coordinator is. He's got some weaknesses we've seen. So that's another topic for another day. But I think the if you have to put a checkbox, you have to give Kirby Smart the checkbox on who's the better head coach and who's got a proven history of making in-game adjustments and getting his team ready and not letting him quit on him and always finding a way to stay in the game and keep it competitive to the end. Have to give that to Kirby.
Hey, John, what was the final score? What was the final score in the Georgia-Tennessee game? Remember?
44-41 in overtime.
So, see, again, looking way ahead to Tennessee, I think their defense is that great because I don't feel like Georgia is a very explosive offense. I mean, what little bit I've seen this year, I mean, they're methodical and they're potent, but I just think Tennessee to allow 44 points at home. I don't know, man. I like our chances in both of these games,
Yeah,
Georgia and Tennessee.
I agree with you. I think we can win them both. I like our chances in Tennessee more because we're here. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, is DeBoer at home versus DeBoer on the road. But yes, from a defensive standpoint, I don't think this is your what you expect from a Georgia defense. They got torched. They got beat up pretty heavily. And every time I thought, okay, because the lead changed, what, seven times, I believe, in that game. And every time Georgia got ahead, then all of a sudden Tennessee's getting one of those receivers over the top and making big plays. And I heard somebody talking today that they're concerned about that defensive secondary of Georgia and
Yeah,
how
me
good are
too.
their corners and that, can they hold up? And Tennessee, you brought up their receivers. I think they've got two really good receivers. Brazel's really good, and Staley's really good, but they don't have five of them. We got five. And we got a really good tight end. And we've got running backs that can catch the ball out. So if we can scheme it up right, you can't double team all of our receivers. You just can't do it.
No, I mean, I think both teams are gonna have a hard time. And again, if our offensive line holds up, we're gonna be hard to stop, really hard to stop.
Hang
And then,
on one second while I shoot that. Sorry.
no, that's fine. And
Somebody
then,
didn't know I was recording and I
yeah.
had to say, nope.
Nope, can't do it, not now. But
Exactly.
I know we're kind of looking ahead, but also with receivers, I think we're good. And I think if Jan Miller comes back healthy, I mean, he may be the best balance of all of our backs. Because I think I noticed it seems like that when we have certain running backs in, it's kind of obvious it's going to be a pass because it seems like Riley's not quite as good at pass pro as Daniel Hill is. So hopefully this week we're doing some self-scouting to make sure we're not having any tendencies that Georgia's going to know and certain personnel's on the field that we're going to do certain things. And I think having Jam there, Jam can pass protect pretty good and he can run well and he can catch out of the backfield. So I think having him back is good timing. And then Tim Keenan, hello, I mean, for run defense. So
Yeah, and London Simmons playing
yes,
well.
he's going to be a star, I think.
And to that point, you said you're not sure if Georgia's offense is that good. And we're going to find out because what did we learn from FSU?
Yeah, we can't stop the run.
Well, also the dual threat quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have to account. I don't think, I'm not that impressed with Mike Bobo as an
Me
OC.
either.
I'll take Ryan Grubb over Mike Bobo all day long, but hats off, whatever. I don't know whether Kirby told Bobo what to do or Bobo, but he kept him in the game and they kept scoring and they kept figuring out ways and then they ran the ball at the end in overtime and shoved it in the end zone. So, and they can, if they're smart, they're going to look at what FSU burned us on. They're also going to look at what Wisconsin had success with, which wasn't a lot, but they had a few successful plays. And also, we better be ready for that wheel route to the running back. Because I would
That's
throw
coming.
that, I would throw that two or three times. I'd try some reverses. I would try some different things with Gunnar Stockton that flummoxed us and see what Cain Womack's got in his bag of tricks to shut down a running quarterback and then get us sucked in and Schoen can start the run and then try to open it up with the pass, because they've got a couple of good receivers and Gunner hit some nice shots. But it's going to be very fascinating because I'm worried about our run defense. I'm worried about our ability to handle a dual threat quarterback. And they offer that. So it's going to be a great test to, because we're going to have to, because Aguilar can scramble. John Mateer, I mean, we're hearing all these things about him. Bo Pribula at Missouri, we're going to have to deal with that. We don't know what the status of Lenore Sellers will be at South Carolina. We got Diego Pavia coming in. So
Jackson
we got
Arnold.
Jackson Arnold at the end of the season. I'm not even thinking that far down the road.
But
we've got to show that we can scheme against that, and then we can and I'm not worried about Bobo like I would be if it was Gus Malzahn as the OC for Georgia. But I've got concerns about can our defense shut him down. We did great the last two games, but who did we play?
I mean, my thing is, the reason I don't think Bobo's great is because the past few years he had Brock Bowers and he had McConkey, and he still couldn't – and he had a great defense. I know he's not in charge of that, but he had great players and talent. He couldn't get them to the promised land, you know. So those guys, I think this year, and he had Kamari Lassiter a couple of years ago. Anyway, I just think this team is this Georgia team is not as potent. They don't have Brock Bowers. They don't have McConkey. They have a good running back stable, I think. But
they do.
I just don't think he's Bobo's dangerous. I think their players are dangerous. I'm not worried about Bobo as much as I would be, like you said, Gus Malzahn or Lane Kiffin or somebody like that.
Or if Todd Monken was still there, I'd be much more concerned about his ability to scheme it up. So I don't want our guys to get lazy or to get overconfident. They need to be ready for all this stuff that's burned, and they need to look at everything Georgia's done that's been successful, and also all those plays that burned us. Because if I'm Georgia, I'm going in and looking at what Malzahn had success with. I'm going to try some reverses. I'm going to try some quarterback triple option. I'm going to look at what Diego Pavia was able to do, thinking, hey, Gunner can do that. I would.
Right.
And
I was going to say, on this small sample size of like 16 games so far, Kane Womack's defenses seem to struggle, like you said, with motion, anything in the backfield, eye candy, running quarterbacks, it just blows our mind or something. So hopefully that's going to change. But we'll really know in 2 weeks when we play Vanderbilt. We can't stop that offense, and he's had a year to work on it, then Kane's got to go.
I agree with you.
That's crazy.
But I think we're going to find out this weekend, or not this weekend, but a week from Saturday, we're going to find out, can he make adjustments? Because I don't think we can get away with 6 men in the box against Georgia. They're going to run the ball. We got to have 7 guys in the box, and sometimes we got to put 8 guys in the box, and then we've got to look for those wheel routes and have somebody over the top to not let them hit that for a touchdown or a huge gain. I don't mind giving up 15 yards, but FSU was great against us about bending but not breaking, and hats off to them. And then we got away from running the ball when they were in alignments where we should have run the ball, because we got pass happy and abandoned the run. So that's our offense versus their defense. But then when we're on defense, we got to recognize Georgia wants to run the ball. Kirby loves to run the ball.
You almost have to bring Bray Hubbard up and play some run support, you know.
Or bring in an extra linebacker,
right,
or bring in an extra interior lineman. Instead of going 4-2, go 5-2. You know, put a nose and 2 stuffed tackles and 2 DNs, but bring some bigger guys in to do that on first and second down and get them in third and long. And then we can go back to that 4-2-5 in third and long. But if they're in third and short, they got all sorts of options to confuse us.
Yeah, I think if on first downs, I think you're right. I think we go with a bigger front 7 and then trust our talented DBs to do their job one-on-one. I mean, you might get burned occasionally, but it's better than getting pounded for 5 yards every time running the ball.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think we have to make adjustments, have to have different formations, different personnel grouping. You can't just rely on the 4-2 and hope it works out, you know.
And FSU surely, and again, to me, a lot of people aren't saying this, but that was schematic. They keep saying our players didn't give good effort, but we were in the wrong schemes. We set our players up to just get roasted.
Right.
And I thought the schemes were bad, and then abandoning the run on offense. So I blame that on the coaches. I think that game could have been a lot closer, and I'm going to stick to that. And I went and rewatched it. It was coaching, it was schemes, it was not the players playing as poorly. But hey, if it gets them fired up and they can tell them that you played poorly and you get better effort, but the coaches have to scheme it up better. And so I'm going to be excited to see if Kane can do it. And then also, if we get down 21-7 or we get down 28-14, can we make those adjustments? Can we get our guys back in there? And this is one of the points that I want to make is Kirby wins from behind. He's shown he can do that. Saban could do that over and over again. Go to Auburn and figure out how to hit a fourth down play with no time left. He can pull those games out. Can DeBoer overcome a deficit on the road in the SEC and win? Can he be down 7, 10, 14 and come from behind? Because every time DeBoer's gotten behind on the road, we've lost. We've never had a come-from-behind victory with DeBoer on the road, either in the bowl game or in any of these SEC games. So wow. He has not shown that if he's down at halftime, he can win a game. And right. Then we were leading Tennessee in the fourth quarter, and then they took a lead, and they just stretched it. We did nothing to stop them or to get back in the game. And same thing with this FSU. We got it to a 7-point game, 24-17, and then we couldn't stop FSU and then couldn't go down there and put any more points on the board.
And we also penalties. We got to
right.
Maybe against Georgia, we can have less penalties than Georgia. Just one game. The penalties were huge in Florida State game too, man. They're drive stoppers. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, that discipline. Again, that's coaching. There's got to be consequences to the players when they make – undisciplined plays, when they jump off sides and they're not watching, when they make those late hits, the out of bounds stuff, grabbing somebody's face mask and just the unsportsmanlike conduct. We can't have that at Georgia. I know it's going to be a heated game, but they've got to play within the rules and to the whistle and up to the whistle, but not past the whistle.
Right.
So we got to do that. So, all right. What is your confidence that if DeBoer's trend is he can't go on the road and win big games, his trend is he can't come from behind on the road and win, how can he break those trends? How can he flip it on its head and go from being that coach that when you get him in a hole on the road, he's going to fold? How does he flip that? How do we start winning these big games on the road?
I think Ryan Grubb has a lot to do with it. If we're going to change this pattern, because, you know, we still have the same defensive coordinator from last year. I mean, and again, Kane can get better. Kane can improve. And maybe he will. I hope he does. But the big difference between last year and this year is Ryan Grubb. So, and I think that's going to be the key. And then we have to hope that, you know, DeBoer still getting better too. I mean, no, he's not 30, but you know, hopefully he gets better with every game, every season. Like I heard Dabo Swinney, he went off this week and said, "Y'all want to get rid of me? I'm just now getting to the point where I can be a good coach." And so I'm just thinking, like all of us, hopefully DeBoer is improving too. Now, does that stat about him not winning big games go back to Washington, or are we talking about?
I'm just looking at Alabama.
Yeah,
but I'm looking at all these road wins at Alabama, just nothing.
Yeah, Wisconsin,
and not like Vanderbilt. I mean, get down to Vanderbilt 13-0. You can't come from behind and win. What?
Right. Yeah, I'm hopeful last year was a big culmination of poor, you know, Nick Sheridan, Milroe, first year coaching in the SEC. I'm hoping that's what it is. This year, though, hasn't started any better with Florida State, because all off season, I heard how they've been studying Gus Malzahn film, but it looked like they had not ever seen the guy before. It looked like they had never seen Gus Malzahn stuff. It's crazy. So, you know, if they go here, John, and we lose, you know, if we lose but play well and are coached well, that's one thing. But if we go there and we look like we did against Florida State, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, if we come out losing by 14 or 17 or more, not good.
Right.
I can handle a 3-point loss, a 4-point loss, even a 7-point loss if we're in there fighting to the end. Make an adjustment. And to Kane's credit, I don't know how much you noticed that he would put 7 men in the box and 8 men in the box against ULM Wisconsin. Or against Wisconsin, that he wasn't just sticking to that 4-2-5. His defenses looked more multiple and that he was adjusting the schemes. So I saw that, but Are we going to see that and see it done successfully against a much better opponent? Because this is big time. This is big time football.
I think so. And maybe you're right. Maybe Kalen, in their coaches' meetings said, okay, Kane, listen, we have got to do more formations, put more men in the box when we play. Maybe that's what's happening. Maybe Kane's, I mean, Kalen's is really telling them, hey guys, we have got to do better. And so against Georgia, like you said, if we don't make some changes, they're going to run all over us. So I think they're learning. I'm hopeful that what you saw in Wisconsin is that Kane is like, hey, you know what? I can throw this package out the window. If it's not working, we can go to heavy front seven and stop the run.
Right,
So,
or even go 8 men in the box when you
right,
need to,
amen. Yeah,
depending on
amen.
depending on the formation.
That's what Wisconsin did to us. Wisconsin started off 8 men in the box right away, and that led to some big plays downfield. But so.
Hey, and to that point that Wisconsin, they really seemed like they didn't want to let us run the ball, and even ULM did. A lot of people have been complaining about our run game. Do we have a good run game? Do we have a potent run game? What are your thoughts?
So I'd say no, we don't have a potent run game. But yeah, how much of that is they're stopping the run, the other teams are putting 8 men in the box. But I feel like if you have a hat on a hat, if you can get one hat on one hat, we should be able to get some yards even when they don't want us to run. But right now, I don't think we're the kind of team that when the other team wants to stop it, I'm not sure we're the team that can impose our will and get yards. They haven't shown that yet. Now, I think Georgia, I don't know if they need 8 men in the box to stop us. They're going to be better. They're a better team than Wisconsin. So
Oh, no doubt.
they may, if they don't have to blitz, if they don't have to blitz us to get home, then we're in trouble. Because we want them having to blitz to get to tie, not just rushing three guys or whatever it is and getting to
Right.
us. So we'll find out. I mean, but as a, the grade I would give this team on run right now would be probably a C or a C on the running phase of the game. What do you think?
So, couple of things. We ran the ball effectively in the first quarter against FSU.
Oh
Then we
yeah, but we
quit
stopped.
running. Then we quit running the ball.
Yeah, why
So
was that?
FSU Grubb screwed up. That was
Yeah.
schematic. He
Right.
abandoned the run. We got in the hole, and he just went to, I'm going to throw the ball,
Right.
and eat the clock. Just wear the defense out. Keep our defense off the field. Wear them out. Don't abandon the run. You don't need to abandon the. In my opinion, you don't abandon the run until you're down at least 17 points.
Hey, Georgia showed you. Georgia didn't.
Right? Right.
Yeah.
Hey,
So.
in the stats here, and I'm glad you brought that
Yeah.
up. Georgia ran the ball
190 yards.
55 times.
Wow.
Tennessee only ran the ball 34 times.
And look at the time of possession,
Yeah,
38 minutes.
38 to 21. So they did not abandon, and we abandoned the run against FSU. So Ryan Grubb gets an F for abandoning the run, or at least a D minus.
Right.
Why? We were effective running the ball, and there were plenty of times where we could have gotten an easy on first down, 3 to 5, 6 yards, and been in second and medium, second and short, and
Right.
he just threw the ball. And then I think against both ULM and Wisconsin, they did purposely put seven, eight, a lot of times 8 men in the box, and I thought we had to pass the ball, and I thought it was the right thing, but we used a lot of short passes in lieu of the
Yeah.
run. So to
Right.
just get the quick ball out of Ty's hands, because when you got
Right.
eight guys up there, he's going to get pressure quickly.
Right.
You could go play action maybe and get him to bite, but I thought we did a great job of just throwing the short intermediate pass, and in lieu of the run with our great receivers, that's effective. And
Right.
Georgia can't cover everybody. They can't. Our guys are
Right.
gonna get open. So I'm
Right.
okay if they're putting 7 and 8 men in the box using the pass in lieu of the, particularly if they're 8 men in the box, using the
Right.
pass in lieu of the run, using the quick hitter game to Lotsier Brooks. Throw it. I love Jeremy Bernard. He's been
Right.
great. Horton's a big guy. I think you can get the ball to him. Put Ryan in those quick hitter situation, not over the middle. Don't put Ryan over the middle, but just quick things where he can get the ball on a screen or just a little quick slant kind of in and then up, but not over the middle. But quick hitter type plays, and see what we do, or dump it off to the running back. But I'm okay with that. And I thought the last two games we didn't run the ball as much because schematically, we were so effective passing the ball, we didn't need to.
You know
And
what? Also, because Georgia, again, I'm not saying they're bad, but their weakness, I believe, is the defensive backs. I don't think they're going to put 8 men in the box. I think they're going to have to be judicious about how they put their men. And so I think we might have more success running against Georgia because of that.
Right. And remember, Kirby struggles with dual threat quarterbacks.
Yeah, he
And
does.
Ty can run.
He can run.
You know, Ty's not a, you know, he's not Milroe, but he's
Right.
good at scrambling and doing things in a design thing. So there's a lot that I like that we can do. We've just got to let Georgia's defense and what they're trying to do dictate, but we need to run the ball when they got 6 men in the box.
Right.
And we need to
Right.
try them when there's 7 men in the box, particularly if we've got an advantage with a tight end and a running back on one side, quick pitch, you know, hand it off, whatever we need to do, but we need to test them and we can't abandon the run unless they force us with their schemes to pass it all day. And but that was the thing about FSU. So I have question marks about whether we have a great running back, but I thought the first game's on Grubb, and the last 2 games we did what we needed to do because
Right.
we should have passed the ball.
Yeah, surely DeBoer learned a lot in that first game. Surely, Kalen talked to Ryan Grubbs about it because I'm like, on the first series against Florida State, John, I said, game's over.
Oh
I mean,
yeah.
they couldn't stop us 7 minutes down the field. I thought, this is over. And
And
then
it
it's
was a
like,
great mix. It was a great mix of run pass.
yeah, it's great. So
And they go
hopefully.
down and then they come back and score and all of a sudden it's 7-all and we abandoned. We didn't even in the second series try to run the ball a lot. And
Right.
it was kind of over. And I'm like, what are we doing?
Crazy, crazy.
So I didn't get that. And I think Grubb has talked about, I've seen some quotes about wanting to run the ball and not give up on the run too quickly. And I think the last 2 games, the defense said, let's see what Ty can do. Let's
Right.
see if he can beat us. And he did.
Hey, they messed around and found out, didn't
They
they?
did.
Hey, man, he's been on fire, hasn't
They
he?
wanted to see if Ty could do it, and he handled it. And how about, would you rather have Arch Manning or would you rather have Ty Simpson?
Ty Simpson.
Amen.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Ty is hot, man. I think last game he should have been 26 out of 29. We dropped two easy passes. I mean, 26 out of 29, John, that's stupid. And the game before that, he was 17 for 17. I mean, he's hot, man. He is on fire.
And he played well against FSU.
Yeah.
Only to me, only 3 players played well against FSU.
Yeah, Brailsford.
Brailsford.
A tie.
Yep. And Jeremy.
In Germany, that's right, Germany. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, Jeremy's been fantastic. To me,
Right.
he's on an All-American track. He should be an
Right.
All-American. He's definitely going to be All-SEC, playing
Right.
himself into a first-round draft pick. But again, you got Ryan Williams out there. You can't double-team Jeremy.
Right.
You try to double team both of them, then we got other guys running
And
wide open.
then
Isaiah
I mean
Horton, Lutzier Brooks,
Brooks, yeah, I mean Brooks is coming on
Wavis,
strong. Yeah. Yeah.
my cousin, Caleb Edwards.
That's right. Go, Caleb.
Yeah. I mean, we do. We've got tons of weapons. I do that. I'm worried about Georgia's running backs. I think they've
Yeah.
got really good running backs. One of them's like 235 or
Yeah.
240 and fast, and then Frazier's
Frazier's.
fast and
Yeah.
They've got good running backs, so I'm worried about can we handle the running backs and can we handle the dual threat of Gunnar Stockton, but I trust Ty more than I trust Gunnar.
Yeah, I do too. I trust Ty more than I do Arch Manning right now too, which
Oh yeah.
is cool. We'll see, man. I think Ty's just scratching the surface. I mean, think about it. He's only started 3 games. I mean, every game right now is like he's learning. He is learning a lot every game. So I'm excited, man. I think next weekend he's gonna. Now again, it's another hostile environment. Well, this will be his second time doing it, but yeah, like you said, it against FSU. I mean, he tried hard, man. He gave great effort. He ran hard. He did everything they asked him to do, but they just put him in a bad spot. So hopefully our coaches have learned. We'll see.
Well, and I wonder how much he can audible, like when he sees the defense, like some of those plays where we had a pass call and it was an obvious that we should run the ball. How much can
Right.
he audible out? I don't have an answer to that, but if he's got the ability to say, hey, We're called a pass play, and we're calling an intermediate or a long shot, and we either need to do a quick pass play or we need to run the ball. How much can he audible out or not? Do you have any idea what
I
his
don't know, but
ability
I do
is?
know at the game Saturday, I didn't notice it live, but when I watched the replay of the Wisconsin game, Palmer, Jesse Palmer, is that his name? He commented on several times that Ty was calling an audible. I don't know what that was, but I don't know if it was a run to a pass or just a different pass. But he is doing the sign on his helmet, and so I think he's learning that even more about how much leeway he has out there from Coach Grubbs as far as what he can and can't do. So I think every week you're going to see him grow at that position, not only in just feeling comfortable, but against Wisconsin, you know, when his feet are moving a lot. I noticed this live. He was kind of dancing early and looked kind of scared, but man, when he settles in, he throws a great ball and it's accurate. It reminds me of Mac Jones as far as accuracy. So I think he's getting, again, and think about this, John. It's only his third game and he's trying to get comfortable with knowing, hey, how much time will these guys give me? I don't know yet. And you have to get a feel of that. And that's what Mac Jones did so well. Mac Jones knew it's amazing. It's like he had eyes in the back of his head. He knew about how long he had, and he would step up in the pocket many times where that defensive end would come right around, barely missing. And so I think all that to say, I think Ty is just evolving before our very eyes. And I think Ryan's giving him more leeway every game as far as what he can and can't do at the line of scrimmage, you know, pre-snap. But yeah, I think we're seeing more and more next week.
I think he's battle tested. I think that FSU game, he's not gonna see. I mean, he may see some exotic
Right.
stuff, but he's been in that hostile environment. He's been humiliated. He held up as well as anybody on the team other than Jeremy and Brailsford in that game.
Right.
He's played himself. He's a legitimate college quarterback.
He
He's a
is. It's good.
legitimate top level SEC quarterback. Guys are confident going to war with him, which is great. So it's going to be a hostile environment, but he knows he can handle it. So I just hope he's got the latitude and the wherewithal, so the grub gives him the latitude. If he comes up and, we got a pass called, and they got six
Right.
guys back and they're giving you the run, take the run. Take the
Yeah.
easy 3 to 5,
Yeah.
7 yards. Take the easy run. Change the play up.
Right. I've seen him grow up already from that Florida State game, that one play where he's running and could have had the first down and tried to throw it to Ryan in the dirt. Even since then, John, he's already grown up. He's several times he's rolled out and said, you know what? I have 15 yards. I'm taking it. Just take off. And instead of trying to throw something, you know, miraculous, I think he's learning a whole lot. I really do. He's getting a degree every Saturday in quarterback play in the SEC. And we need it because it's about to come. The stretch is about to come.
One after another, but this is it.
Yeah.
We've got 9 games. We got to go 8-1. We can do it. This team has the players to do it. Do we have the coaching staff to get us to go 8-1?
I'm not,
Do
don't
we
know.
have the coordinators? I think to me that's more of a question than do we have the players, in my opinion. Tell me if
Right.
I'm wrong, but I think it's we got the players to do it. Do we have
Yeah.
the coaches to get them through that?
Right. I mean, all the different sources I saw this summer said not, and these weren't Alabama sources, said that Alabama and Ohio State probably had the most talent, you know, on their team. So I think we have the players for sure. The coaches let us down week one, and the hope is they won't do it again. We'll see.
Well, and how we do in that second half. And think about this. We did pull out 2 games at home where we got down, the Georgia
South
game,
Carolina.
and then the South Carolina game, but we should have lost the South Carolina game.
Yeah.
The Georgia game, we should have won that game. We were better than them, even though in the second half they outplayed us. But that South Carolina game, whoo,
Yeah.
God, and South Carolina's not as good this year as they were. That
Right.
team was really good, and they should have beaten us, and we got lucky to win that game.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
But
that
again, it
we
was
almost.
coaching that let us down.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, do you remember the last 4 minutes of that first half where all of a sudden we're taking a safety and
Yes.
giving up a touchdown? And I'm like, what are we doing?
Crazy. Yeah, I mean that game I felt like they should have won, you're right. And I felt like we tried to give it to them. It's
And they missed a
amazing.
field goal that they should have made.
That's right. Golly.
And then they had to go for two, and we stopped them, and it was like, that they were better than us last year, I think.
They sure were. We were very fortunate to win that game.
And then that wheel route, we got to be ready for that.
It's coming.
I predict we'll see that play twice against Georgia. I predict it. And
Okay, you're probably right.
we handled it against Wisconsin. I don't know if you saw them run it. They did run it, and I think they got 10 or 15 yards, but they didn't go for 40, or they
Right.
didn't go for a touchdown. They ran it, and to some effect, but it was not the home run ball to get
Right.
them, within field goal range.
Yeah, they don't have the athletes to do it like FSU did.
No.
And I think Georgia will have it. I mean, so you gotta stop it. We have to stop it. Do you remember who it was? Was it Xavier Brown on the wheel route that got burned, or
No,
was he?
it was one of the running backs. Every time, that's what they do on that
Oh,
wheel route,
that's
is
right. That's
because
right.
you've got the running
That's
back
right.
coming out, and they run the receivers to the
Right.
middle, so the safety leaves that sideline open, and then you've got a fast running back
With a
going down the
linebacker.
sideline with the linebacker. So he's got, and it was just an easy pitch and
Yeah.
catch.
Yeah, that Lawson probably, or Jefferson probably, one of those guys.
Lawson or
Yeah.
Jefferson, but whomever,
Right.
they get burned and they don't leave a safety on that half of the field, and all you had to do was leave a safety on that
Right.
half of the field, because if these guys are running all over and you're in a zone, you should have other guys. But they cleared it out, and that was the problem.
Right.
And so we got to be ready for that. Did you see they tried to run a reverse twice? That Wisconsin tried to run the reverse twice, and we handled it.
I've forgotten that. No,
Yeah, no,
that's
we
awesome.
did. So I was like, all
Yeah.
right, that's improvement. We were
Good.
ready
Yeah.
for the reverse. The guys
Right.
stayed. But we had more men in the box, though. We didn't have 6 men in the box on that. We had 7 men in the box. When you got more numbers, it's easier to set the edge. It's easier to clog things up. So I was
Yeah.
happy about that. But that wheel route, we're gonna see it again. We're gonna see some reverses. We're gonna see the RPOs with, they're gonna do it. They're gonna test us.
And think about it. We have, starting next Saturday, we have five games in a row. Georgia's ranked, Vanderbilt's ranked right now,
Yes,
Missouri's ranked, right?
yes,
Missouri's ranked,
yes,
Tennessee's ranked,
yes.
and South
South
Carolina,
Carolina is not ranked.
yeah. So four out of the next five are ranked teams. That's
Correct.
and you're gonna see a lot of those will rounds, I guarantee you.
And then we got a bye week, and then we got ranked LSU, and then we
Right.
got ranked Oklahoma. And is Auburn's ranked too, aren't they?
Yes.
So
This is,
7 of our 9 games that we have left are against ranked teams.
that's amazing.
That's
That's got to be one of the
crazy.
hardest schedules
It
out there.
is. Florida's got the hardest schedule, but we are right up there with them. We got a murderer's row coming up.
We'll
So
see.
it's going to be fun. And again, we could do it, but we're in playoff elimination mode right now.
Too
Because
early. Too early.
the
We
SEC's
messed
just
up.
loaded.
I know.
There's no rest for the weary. I mean, even like if Mississippi State was coming here, I'd feel good about beating them. But if we had to go play Mississippi State right now, I'd be worried about
Right.
that game.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I mean,
Yeah.
Arkansas, Ole Miss. Arkansas played Ole Miss tough.
Right.
If we had to go to Arkansas, I'd be worried. If we had to go to Kentucky played Ole Miss tough.
It sure did. Yep. There's
So.
not really, there's no Vanderbilt of old, or
Not your mama, not my mama's Vanderbilt, not my dad's Vanderbilt.
man, crazy. It's gonna be fun.
South Carolina, I think that's going to be an easier game than I anticipated because one, they lost a lot of players to the pros, and I'm not convinced that what they've got left, I think they're depleted. And then with Sellers, if he's hurt, we're going to kill him. We're going to
Yeah.
win that game. So I'm not as worried about that game, but going to Missouri looks tough.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I think our easiest game left, obviously, is Eastern Illinois. But after that,
It's South
it's
Carolina
South
right
Carolina. Yeah.
now.
Which is
Yeah.
what I thought would be very hard three
Right.
weeks ago. And then after that, I guess maybe it's at Missouri. I don't know. But we'll see, man. We'll see.
All right, I'm gonna go through some quick hit questions.
Sure.
Gunner versus Ty. Who do you pick? Who do you favor? Gunner or Ty? Okay.
Ty.
All right. Bama O-line versus the Georgia D-line. Who do you
Georgia
favor
D
there?
line.
Okay.
How about you?
I'm going to agree with you on both of them.
Okay.
Georgia O-line versus the Bama D-line.
Oh, I'm probably gonna go Georgia O line.
I'm going to go push.
Okay.
I'm gonna go push.
Well, you didn't tell me that was an option, John. I'm
I
just
made
I'm
it
just
up. I just changed the
I'm just
rules.
kidding. I'm kidding.
I'm gonna call it a push.
Okay.
Okay, Georgia running game versus the Bama defense.
So far, I'm gonna say Georgia running game.
I agree with you. Georgia passing game versus the Bama defense.
Bama D.
I agree with you there too. Bama running game versus the Georgia defense.
I'm hoping a push.
Okay. I'm going to give it to the Georgia defense, but I'm like you. I'm hoping a push. Bama passing game versus the Georgia D.
Us, Bama passing game.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We've already done this,
I
but
know.
who's the better head coach?
Probably Kirby.
It's got to be Kirby. I would do that trade in a heartbeat.
I would too. OC, right?
OC,
OC.
yep.
I'm going to take Grubb on this.
I'm taking Grubb all day, every day. Even though
Right.
Grubb was terrible against Florida State, Grubb all day, every day. I'm not a big Mike Bobo fan.
Yeah, me either.
He's like Kirby's buddy, so I think Kirby protects
Right.
him, but
Right.
I'm not convinced. Defensive coordinator, who's better, Kane Womack or whoever the Georgia D
It's
coordinator? I don't
not
even
much
know.
champ anymore. It's not much champ
I don't
anymore.
even know who it is.
I
I'm
mean,
calling
yeah.
Kirby the defensive coordinator.
So Kane versus who knows, right?
Versus Kirby, really. I mean, call it Kirby.
I'll
I'll
take
take
Georgia's defensive coordinator.
absolutely. As long as you got Kirby as the head coach, I'll take
Right.
the Georgia. All right,
Special
special
teams.
teams.
I don't know about them, but I like what we're doing right now.
We're better. And
Yeah.
we've made some field goals, and we're not making any mistakes. Well, we gave the kickoff back. We let
After
them
that
run the
penalty,
kickoff
yeah.
back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Georgia's usually very buttoned up on special teams, so I'm going to give
Right.
it to Kirby because I know he's buttoned up on that stuff.
Right.
But we've been okay.
Yeah. I like Cole Adams a lot. I trust him.
Yeah. I'm just worried about our kicking outside of 45. Can we
Yeah.
make a 50-yard field goal?
I don't know.
All right, so then this question, which team do you trust to make the in-game adjustments and keep your team in the game or get them back into the game? Do you
Drum roll.
trust Kirby or Kalen?
Kirby. Kirby.
For sure.
For sure.
And then we've talked about this, but why will DeBoer change his MO and start winning big road games?
Because, like I said, from last year to this year, he was in a bad situation, I felt like, with Milroe and Nick Sheridan. Going to turn it around.
That's what we're counting on. Big turnaround. And DeBoer knows he's going to be in trouble if he doesn't have a good season this year. I'm counting on the turnaround.
You still there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I hear you now. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. No, I'm counting on DeBoer turning it around. This is going to be the game where he goes and gets a big win. We're going to beat Georgia. I think we can do it. We got the players. Are the coaches going to? And to me, it's really about coaching. I really believe that. I think we've just got to, our coaches have to be top notch.
Yeah, I agree.
And then we can do
Coach
it.
has got to show up.
Yep. All right, parting shots.
It's going to be a great weekend to watch other teams play, and we'll see what other teams have. And good weekend for our players to get some rest. And yeah, hopefully our coaches are doing some self-scouting, and we'll be ready next week.
I think it's a good weekend to watch some of the teams we're competing against take a loss so that we can start getting those teams knocked out of playoff contention. So I'm excited to see. So next time we reconvene, we can talk about who's in contention for the playoffs with us, who's in contention for the SEC championship. So it's going to be fun. All right. Well, thank you, Rick. Appreciate it.
Man, it's an exciting time, man. It's gonna be a great season.
Amen to that. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Subscribe, like, follow, hit the notify button wherever you access the podcast or wherever you stream us. Roll Tide and God
Roll
bless.
Tide. Roll Tide. God bless you.
Roll Tide.